A very good evening. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Sukkah Chafav, Sukkah 26a, pagination, page 51. Towards the bottom of the page, counting up from the wide lines, about 17 lines is my guess. The first words on the line are Ochlim Achilas Arai Chutz L'Sukkah with the two dots. We were told that you're allowed to eat temporary type eating outside of the sukkah. And focusing on actual bread, the Gemara asks, V'kama achilas arai? How much is considered temporary? So the first presentation is Omar Rav Yosef, Tartio telas beyi, two or three sizes of an egg, which is a substantial amount of eating, but it wasn't a true meal. Omar lay Abaye, and Abaye objected and said, "Vazimnas sagin sagile le'inish ba'achi." There are plenty of times that a person is sufficient with that. That's enough to satisfy them. And teshvu ke'in taduru should require, living in the sukkah as you live in your house, that you eat that in the sukkah. Havalei sudas keva. That's considered a established meal. Ella Amar Abaye, Abaye revises the amount and says, Kidetoyim bar be rav va'ayel lekalo. The amount that a yeshiva student would eat if he's worried that the shiurim and the seder is going to get too long and he's not going to be able to eat for a very long time, so he grabs something to eat quickly in the morning as he's rushing out, and he goes to the gathering to study Torah. And that is the amount that's described in Halacha, that we're dealing at the amount of one kebeya rather than the original description of multiple kebeyas. The Gemara continues. Tan Rabbanan, Ochlem Achilas Arai Chutz L'Sukkah. You're allowed to eat the temporary eating out of the sukkah. Ve'en Yishenim Shinas Arai Chutz L'Sukkah. But when it comes to sleeping, you're not allowed to do that out of the sukkah. My time, the Gemara explores the reason. Omer Ravashi, Ravashi says, Gezeira Shema Yerodim. We're worried that he's going to fall into a deep slumber. So even though he says that he's just doing arai temporary sleeping, he just needs to doze off slightly. But we're worried about it because a person loses control and it could just continue. Amalei Abaye, Abaye said, we have this discussion regarding tefillin as well. Eloha detanya, yoshen adam shinasarei b'tefillin. We're told that you're allowed to sleep a temporary sleeping with tefillin. Just a little dozing off, dribbling, nodding one's head. Avaloshinas keva, but not a true sleeping. Lecho shema yirodim. If you're going to let him do the temporary form, why aren't you worried that he too would fall into a deep slumber with his tefillin on? Amrav Yosef, rei d'ravi loy b'mosu shinose la'achirim. He appoints somebody else to be in charge to make sure to wake him up. Maskeflo Rav Misharshia. Rav Misharshia is not satisfied with that suggestion. He says, Arvech Arvotzorich. The person who's responsible to make sure he doesn't fall asleep, he needs someone to make sure that he doesn't fall asleep. So he doesn't like the idea that you're appointing somebody to make sure you don't fall asleep. Ela Omar Rabba Barbachanam Rabbi Yechanan. The answer here is b'maniach rosha ben pirkov askinon, that there's a solution which is described in Simon Mem Dalid in Shulchan Aruch, where part of the solution is that he puts his head between his knees. It's a very temporary form of sleeping, and therefore we're not worried that it's going to get extended. So the answer here, according to Rabbi Bar Chana, is that we're talking about a different type of shinas arai, temporary sleeping. If it's temporary sleeping where the person just resolves not to continue sleeping, so then we're worried that he's going to continue sleeping, and that's the case by sukkah, and that's forbidden, and that would be forbidden as by tefillin as well. The case that was mentioned by tefillin of shinas arai is a very unique type of shinas arai, where he puts his head between his knees, and it's an unusual type of shinas arai, and we're not worried that he's going to fall asleep. He's very uncomfortable or whatever it is, but it's not something that's going to continue. So again, according to Rabbi Bar Chana, this answer works for tefillin, his head between his knees, and this answer would work by sukkah as well, his head between his knees, according to Rabbi Bar Chana. But the Gemara continues with a different answer, which actually negates this possibility by sukkah. And that is, Rava Omar Ein Keval Lishina. Rava says that there's no such thing as limiting sleep to permanent sleep as opposed to casual sleep. Regarding sukkah, the rule is that anything that's substantial has to be done in the sukkah. Rashi tells us, "Ein b'chiluk ben keva la'arai le'inyan sukkah." There's no difference regarding sukkah between real sleep and temporary sleep, because sometimes menamne ma'at v'dayo, a person dozes off just a drop, and that's sufficient. And therefore, we have two phenomenal insights over here. One insight is that when it comes to tefillin, putting your head between your knees is a different type of shinas arai. And that level of shinas arai, we don't anticipate that it's going to continue into a shinas keva, and therefore it's permitted by tefillin. And by sukkah, we're even more strict. It has nothing to do with the shinas arai continuing into a shinas keva, but rather that the shinas arai itself is forbidden because sometimes it is sufficiently satisfying, and that's all the person needed, the expression, a power nap, just a little bit, a few moments, to rejuvenate, and therefore even that was supposed to be done in the sukkah. Let's turn the page to the second side. We have a fascinating Mishnah. Our Gemara told us that if it's temporary eating, you're allowed to do it out of the sukkah. We try to quantify how much is considered temporary eating regarding bread products. But if it was not bread products, we would be even more lenient. So that, for example, meat, fish, eggs, cheese are items that we would be even more lenient on. But the Mishnah over here on Chavav Amud Beis tells us that there were great people who were careful even when tasting a simple dish, that they were careful to eat it in the sukkah. And indeed, that's the way it's codified in Halacha, that even if you're not obligated to eat it in the sukkah, Simen Tov Resh Lamed Tes, Misha Yachmer Al Atzmo, if a person who's strict with himself and doesn't have out of the sukkah afilu mayim, even water, Hareze Meshubach, it is praiseworthy. It's not considered outlandish. Let's see the wording of the Mishnah. Maise Vehevi Lo L'Rabbi Yechonon Ben Zakkai Litmas HaTavshil. They gave to Rabbi Yechonon Ben Zakkai to taste a cooked food. Or to Rabbi Gamliel, shtei kosavos udelishal mayim, and to Rabbi Gamliel, also some food. Va'amru ha'alum la'sukkah, and they said, let's bring it up to the sukkah. We'll eat it in the sukkah. And just to make one more observation here, on the bottom of the Gemara, there's a little notation, the star, that tells us to go to Shabbos Kufnun Dalid in Rashi, where Rashi says that this expression, ha'alum la sukkah, take it up to the sukkah, is an expression that's used because often they built their sukkos on the roof of the building, thus the expression ha'alum la sukkah. But what we do see is that even if it's not binding, it is proper in many cases, if it's possible, it's praiseworthy, to eat the item in the sukkah, even though it's not obligatory. In such a case, we would not recite a bracha on eating it in the sukkah because it's not truly obligatory, but nevertheless, it is proper and it's a mitzvah to do so. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.